I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Welcome to the Talking Movies Pictures Movie Show. Who are you, Tim?
I am.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. My name's Andy Price.
And what is this?
And this is Tim Goodings. Hello. This is a podcast about movies.
Films. And
what do we do on this podcast,
discuss
Tim?
Discuss them and review them.
And so that's the intro done. Next section.
Okay. Next section is Marvel News. Marvel News is when I discuss Marvel News. So I'll do it now. And currently, do you know the thing about the guy that was fired? But because he's been fired, and I'm not happy. I'm as mad as Batista. I'm gonna boycott Marvel News until he's reinstated again.
Sorry, Tim. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about here. Who's been fired?
James Gunn.
Go on.
He was fired. That's not news, but everyone knows that already, so don't mistake that for Marvel News, because I'm deliberately boycotting the idea of Marvel News while he's still fired. So if you didn't know that already, then you didn't hear it from me, because I don't want you to think that is news now, because I'm not doing the news, because he's been fired.
Tim, I'm gonna poke a big old plot hole in your situation here.
Yep.
I don't know what Guardians of the Galaxy is.
I didn't say Guardians of the Galaxy.
Tim,
yeah?
This isn't about you pointing plot holes in my conversation. This is about me pointing plot holes in yours.
Okay, and point the plot hole?
I don't know what Guardians of the Galaxy is.
The plot hole is that you don't know something.
And I wish you'd stop mentioning it. Because that means that your boycott has gone shit cock all over the floor.
It's gone shit cock?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's it for Marvel
News. So hang on. All right, okay. Like this aside, can you just like get on with the Marvel News? Because quite honestly, enough chit-chat. This is what people tune into the podcast for.
Nope,
tell them the Marvel News.
Nope, I'm boycotting it because I want...
The Marvel News is that you're boycotting Marvel News.
Well, no, there is. I'm saying there isn't Marvel News because of that.
So this is podcast news?
This is
that
just...
you're boycotting Marvel News?
I guess this is... Yes. This section is podcast. This is news about the podcast features. It's feature news.
Yeah.
And that news is, there's no Marvel news this week because I'm boycotting that feature. And that is feature news.
All right. That's podcast news. Next section, Marvel news.
Nope.
So Tim, this isn't you disagreeing with his terrible Twitter jokes, is it? This is you being too lazy to get the fucking Marvel news this week.
Look, Andy. If it so happens that this week, when James Gunn was gone and is not there...
It
is something that could be legitimately angry about, coincides with me being fucking sick of Marvel news, then that is a coincidence. And don't read anything into that.
Quite honestly, Tim, if you're sick of Marvel news, then you're sick of this podcast, and why the fuck are we even doing it?
Well, then maybe I'll boycott the podcast.
Well, fine, I'm boycotting the podcast as well.
Should we start a new podcast?
Yeah, what should we start?
A sort of film podcast.
What, like we used to do?
Yeah, like back in the old days.
I did used to enjoy it a lot more, I'll be honest with you, Tim.
Should we just start fresh, okay? Act like there never was any Andy and Tim prior to the first one. Maybe we even just met and we're just going back to the old features, the old basics of what the podcast was in the old days.
So podcast news, we're stopping the podcast and we're going back to basics.
This is the end of the podcast. That's section two of podcast news. This isn't one anymore.
New podcast.
That's the third bit of podcast news, is that there is now a new podcast and it's called
the Talking Movies Pictures Movies Show 2.
Yes.
Cruise Control.
Talking Movies Pictures Movies Show Me the Money 2.
The Control. Talking Movies Pictures Movies Showgirls.
So this is a new podcast and we go back to the basics of what we used to do just to keep it interesting.
Dust off those old features.
This feature is called Can Anything Stop Kevin Spacey's Career?
I used to love this because this was like K-Pax era Talking Movies Pictures Movie Show.
This is when K-Pax came out and everyone was like, wow, he can't be stopped. This film is incredible.
Top of his game.
Yeah. this is pre-Pay It Forward though, right?
Oh, I have no idea.
I don't even know if he's in it, in fact. But he should have been, because then he would have been at the top of his game.
Well, he was at the top of his game, and they probably wanted him on it.
Yeah, so this is maybe 7 era, when he wasn't even credited, but he was in it.
So the way this feature worked was every week we'd sit down, and sometimes it was me, sometimes it was you. That was just the kind of energetic approach to podcasting that we used to have before we got disillusioned by Marvel News. Yep. But one of us would ask the question, can anything stop Kevin Spacey's career? And that's what I'm asking you right now, Tim.
Yeah, is there anything conceivable that could stop his career in its tracks that would make him
I like what you did there, because I asked the question, then you turned around, you asked me the question, so now I'm asking the question.
Yeah, well,
can anything stop Kevin Spacey's career?
Andy,
and that's a question for you.
With that question, what I did is I took it and I paid it forward. So I gave it to you.
And then I took that question and I K-Paxed it.
Yeah.
Right in your face.
Yeah, okay. So I guess the answer would be no, he's unstoppable. He's a force of acting nature, a nature of acting. He will be acting until he's dead.
And I heard he's trying to get into the theatre as well. And that'll make him even more unstoppable. Because you know what's more unstoppable than movies?
Kevin Spacey.
And theatre.
And theatre.
And put them together and you've got an unstoppable Kevin Spacey in the theatre. And he will not stop.
Well, what?
He will not. People will ask him to, because they're like, there's people around here who want you to stop. Because
some that I've met.
But he won't, because he's unstoppable.
I wish he'd stop after what he did.
Which was K-Pax.
It was so good.
Like, he should just stop, because now...
Because they've gone,
like,
he's completed films. So that's enough.
So the answer to that segment is no.
No, nothing can stop him. And now, next segment is...
this was one of my favourites, Tim.
Yeah, bear in mind, we started this podcast the first time when we were in our early teens.
Mm.
This segment is called Pretty Film Ladies That I Like and Saw.
Oh, yes. Oh, God, so many pretty film ladies that I liked and I saw. And I presume that you liked and saw them too. Otherwise, it was a one-sided conversation, which I do not like. I do not like one-sided conversations. So the thing about this segment is that it just allowed us to really kind of jizz out those hormones.
It allowed us to really look at the women, the pretty film ladies of today and of the day, the old days, and just really let people know that, we were ready for it and we wanted it good.
And hard.
Mm-hmm, and they were the ones for us. And oh boy, wouldn't it be nice? And who was your first? Who's your first pretty film lady of this week, Andy?
My first pretty film lady of this week was Marty McFly's mum in Back to the Future. The actor whose name we can never forget because of her turn as... She was the original MILF, Tim, which you don't know about. You don't know about MILF yet because we're teenage boys, and that was many moons ago.
That actress whose name we all know is the original. She is the original MILF, and that's Andy's. That's your pick of the week for the lady that I'd like to have be in bed with.
Exactly, because when he got with his mum in the car,
yeah,
that was, oh boy. Because back when we were teenagers, who didn't want to get with their mum? In many ways, have any of us ever grown out of it? And if this was still the 80s, Tim, I would be paging Dr. Freud right now. But it's not, so I'll have to call him on my iPhone. And who's your ladies that we like?
The pretty film lady of the day that I want to have and be with is, of course, the girl lion from The Lion King. The little one.
Oh, the really little one.
Well, she starts off little, but then so does Simba, and then he gets bigger.
I mean, this is difficult because I remember when we first discussed this back in the day, 30 or 40 years ago when we did the podcast, the concern initially in this conversation was that she was an animal, whereas now the concern is more that she's a child.
No, because by the end
but
of the film...
But that's just the landscape we're working in these days.
Well, by the end of the film, I think she's reached at least adolescence, and if not adulthood. So, and in fact, in that sense, she's even more mature than I am, based on this feature. So, I think Nyala, maybe.
May she rest in peace.
May she rest in peace, because lions don't live that long.
And that is the segment, ladies that we liked.
Ladies of film that would get it.
All night long. All day. All night.
Any other features that we remember from days gone by?
I mean, it really is amazing how far we'd come, Tim. I know we boycotted, some might say, the intro to this, but it was smooth. And I feel like just getting back in that mindset of what we used to do is just showing us how far we have come. And so, our final feature of this introduction to our thing called a podcast is this segment. I really enjoyed this segment because obviously when we were teenagers and we were doing this podcast and we were like, we'll be in movies one day, and we were looking at other people in movies that were similar age to us and going, oh my god, look how well they're doing.
The
Hollywood youth. So like we called this section "What Do They Do Next?" And it was about the child stars of the kind of 80s and 90s, and just asking what would they do next. Because sometimes you just wouldn't know. I mean, we knew they'd be making movies forever. Movies.
I mean, we hoped films, I think, ultimately.
So what we'd do is we'd pick a child star and we'll pick go one. What's next?
What are they doing next?
And that's a theme tune, so you better make that theme tune.
Yeah, that. One more time, just a clean...
What will they do next?
And I think what I'd like to have is maybe a little boing sound after...
Okay, I'll try it again.
After you've said that.
What will they do next? Boing.
No, I'm not asking you to do it. I'm just saying I'd like to find that sound effect to put that in. So it just
why do you need why do you,
like that?
Why do you need a sound effect? Well, just cut yours in because yours was better than mine.
Like that, and just put that in.
Brilliant.
Okay, great.
So first up on our child actor list, they're going to be going on to big things. We've got everyone's favorite neglected child, Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay.
What will he do next, Tim?
Culkin.
So I think
Home Alone 2?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that already came out.
No, what? All right, Home Alone 3.
I mean, that's a given, Tim. Come on, let's be more adventurous. What's he going to do as a 30-year-old leading man?
That is a given. I guess he'll be the next Kevin Costner, where he'll just age so smoothly into his face and legs, which, as we know, are not in any way spindly, nor will they be. And he'll just fill out so nice, and nothing sharp about that nose, thank you.
I think he's going to be the next Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, I agree. I think he will. And in fact, he did play someone called Kevin, and I think that was what he was aiming for.
I mean, all the major Kevins. He's going to be like Kevin Costner, Kevin Spacey. Kevin McAllister.
My pick of the children, my pick of the crib, it would be Haley Joel Osment, the kid from Sixth Sense.
Which, as we all know, didn't come to prominence until the mid-2000s.
Yep. But, oh man, I've got my eye on him and he's going to be in some great movies.
Oh, no, like it wasn't mid-2000s, it was the late 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, okay.
And AI, which probably was 2000s. And, you know, I'm sure loads more great films that I couldn't even imagine now. And certainly he won't get sort of to, you know, his 30s and end up having to star in shit indie films directed by, for example, Kevin Smith.
Well, good gun, though.
I think, who do you think he'll be similar to now when he gets to a good ripe old age of acting? Or maybe he'll take a more producing role, be more of a Harvey Weinstein figure. Andy? Well, let's say Morgan Freeman. I seriously don't know what he's doing.
He was on Comedy Bang Bang the other day.
Yeah. That's not a career, is it? Podcasting.
And our final child of the week, which I understand now sounds strange, River Phoenix. What's River Phoenix going to be up to in 10 years, Tim?
Oh, what a great name. I mean, there's no way that you cannot be doing acting with a name like that. You cannot do it. There's no way that you can't do it without a name that's not Unriver Phoenix, isn't there?
What's he going to go on to do?
More of that, probably.
More of the acting?
Acting, as my prediction. Take that to the bank, get into Ladbrokes, and just be like, £20 that River Phoenix will be acting, please. And they'll probably give you some pretty shit odds on that, I'd imagine. But
yeah, because like, how could he possibly not be acting? And that's what they do next.
Oh. It's nice to get back to basics and just do the old features that we loved and missed.
So well, that was a pleasant amount of time. There will be the amount of time depending on the edit, anywhere between 30 seconds and 26 minutes.
Well, let's not reveal that that's how long it takes to get any of what happens out, because that will make it seem... if that ends up being like 3 minutes long, and they'll think, wow, they are 9 times less funny than I thought.
That'd be a fucking embarrassment. But then also, they'll be 9 times more impressed by the maths that you just did.
That's true. Pretty good at maths, guys.
So, up next, we are reviewing a movie, and whilst it was nice to just get back to basics, unfortunately, we have to review one of those shitty modern movies, because we are contractually obliged to...
And I'll be reviewing that in now.
I'll tell you one thing that never changes, Tim.
Yeah, what?
That I will never, ever, 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 ever not want you to touch that dial.
Off that dial.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Play. Welcome back to the Talking Movies Pictures Movies Show. This is a podcast about movies where we talk about movies and we review movies. It's very simple, Tim.
And we talk about movies. And this time, as always, I'm going to review one of them.
It is right, Tim, and I'm sorry I couldn't make the screening this week. I really fully intended to, but the thing is, do you remember a couple of weeks ago when I got that hysterectomy?
Did you have it reversed?
No, it burst. So I had to go...
Wait, what do you mean it burst? It was out of you. It burst?
It burst.
The one that they had?
The hysterectomy burst. And it was a mess. I'll be honest with you, Tim. And I didn't want to take that mess into a family-run movie theatre where kids
it's
could
one family
see
that
mess.
Runs it.
And I didn't want to discuss them. I didn't want to get it in the popcorn because I know you eat that popcorn, Tim. And I know it's not the worst thing I put in your mouth, but it
and
is
I don't
still
look at
too what, far.
I don't look at what's in it, so I'll just eat it anyway. And well, even if that means
you think it
pieces
was
of
butter.
Pieces of burst hysterectomy in there.
Yeah.
I've just gobbled it down.
Incidentally, Tim.
Yep.
Do you want to know how it burst?
Hang on. Let me just think. Do I want to know how the absence of a womb burst? Yeah. Okay.
So I went to the movies.
Yep. Oh, you. So it happened at the movies then.
Yes.
Okay.
I went to the movies with my wife Genevieve.
Yep.
And we got some popcorn and we took it into the movie theater. And I'll tell you a secret, Tim, that I don't want you to tell anyone. But I was me and Genevieve hadn't been having
Hold on, let me just pause the recording. Okay, go on.
Yep. Me and Genevieve have been having a bit of a tough time recently because we haven't been having sex.
Because
I had a hysterectomy. And in error assumed that I was all healed. So what I did was I did that classic trick where I put my dick through the bottom of the popcorn so that when she reached out for some she'd touch my dick and I'd be having a lovely time and
so
it would be great.
You wanted to do that in lieu of sex because you can't have sex.
Yeah. Well no, I can now. I was just ready for it, but she'd already got used to not having sex, so I thought I'll spice it up a bit.
And that was a prelude to maybe sex later on after the film, you were thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so good. I cut a little hole in the bottom of the popcorn, I put my dick in, but do you know what I did, Tim?
Did you forget to put popcorn in it?
Well, it was a series of unfortunate events, to be honest with you.
Did you cut a hole in the bottom of the drink?
No, I cut a hole in the bottom of the popcorn, but I cut the hole too small. I put my dick in.
It must be small.
And then when she reached her hand in and it engorged. It got stuck in the hole. The hole was then too small for
Can
it.
Can I just... Sorry, I'm just trying to...
Bear in mind, Tim, this is a family run theater.
I just remembered that the film I went to see... there was a couple near me, and I didn't see their faces, but it definitely seemed like there was a lot of popcorn rustling going on, and then what sounded like a balloon bursting.
Was this last Tuesday?
Yeah, and then both of them ran out of the cinema before the film started.
Was the man in particular screaming?
Well, I was certainly screaming, so I couldn't really hear much over the top of that. Because it honestly sounded like his dick burst.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to carry on telling me what happened?
Do you know, so when it engorged, it got stuck.
That is the best word for it, by the way.
And she didn't stop. So in the end, it backed up until it couldn't stop. And then it just exploded. And it went all over the popcorn. Do you know the most disgusting thing, Tim?
Do I want to know the most disgusting thing about something that is already inherently disgusting and wrong? Yeah, okay, what's the most disgusting thing, Andy?
She ate the popcorn. Those screams you heard wasn't me and Genevieve. It was just me. And it was my scream that was so loud it was echoing off the walls and made it sound like it was two people running out. She saw this whole film. She's given me notes about this film to help review it.
Hang on. So she did, what I saw, she did leave very briefly, but I think she must have come back in to see it, because I think what she ran out and I heard her say, I'm going to get me some more of this popcorn. And I think that maybe she didn't realise that that was the flavour.
Right.
She thought that it tasted great and it all would taste like that. And then she was complaining through a lot of the film about the popcorn being flavourless and tasting less of hysterectomy.
So you went to see this movie, Tim?
Yeah. Oh, man. I will say that the opening I did not really pay that much attention to, because there was a couple, which we now know as you and your wife, just kind of, I mean, I guess, you know, beginning to and then bursting a cock.
Well, I might be able to help you out a bit here, Tim, because Genevieve did actually make some notes on the intro whilst I was screaming.
That's good. So she was, okay, she was at least paying attention to
the described thing. Yeah, she's described the intro to this movie. She's put, it tastes metallic. Is that accurate description, do you think?
Okay, so apparently the intro tasted metallic. I didn't see the intro, missed it, some screams and a bursted cock. But the scene did contain some metal, and it was a metal shield of a big dwarf man. This was a fantasy film, Andy. Dwarf gets the shield and he's like, okay, it's time to make this quest count. And it's his last one. And he's only a day away from retirement. So he's got to do it in a day. Otherwise it stops. And it is...
So it's like a spiritual, fantastical companion movie to The Bucket List. But with a fantastical dwarf.
So he's sort of really old and is going to retire from dwarving soon. And he does have a list written on his shield, which has a list of things and people that he wants to kill and do. And it's basically just him kind of walking through the world of fantasy and going, oh my God, I didn't even know that there were fairies. And then there are. And he has to kill them.
He has to kill the fairies. That's his quest.
It's a list of things that he needs to kill to feel what killing is. He loves to kill, so he needs to do more killing.
Before he retires.
Before he retires, which is only a day away. And there's a list of things that he hasn't yet killed in his life.
The list is fairies.
Top of the list is fairies. And he's like, I'm not even sure that they exist. And he suddenly sees one, and as we know, as I just said, he kills it. So there's a list of things, and he's not sure if they do exist and if they're real. There's fairies, there is the moon landing, and there is...
Wait, so he, on his list, he has to kill the moon landing? Well, and does he make an attempt?
No, Andy, no. First, he has to prove that it exists, because he can't kill something that doesn't exist. So there's fairies is the first thing, and he does find one and does kill it. Second is
how
the
does
moon
he
landing.
Find it?
It's literally there, like straight away.
Just,
and that
just
is
lands on his head or something.
It lands on his thigh, and he just goes, oh, this is easy. Squishes
how
it.
How do he kill it?
He just squishes it with his fist. Then he looks down his list, and of course there are things that he needs to prove exist in order to kill them. One is the moon landing. One is the Mars landing. And...
What Mars landing?
Oh, you're one of those, are you? And one, of course, is the 9/11 conspiracy. And
wait, whether the conspiracy is real?
Yes.
Okay, go on.
So, this film is... what I think has happened, basically... is I think the director has tried to find a way to incorporate a lot of his conspiracy theorist nutter kind of views in a very poor allegory of, you know, a fantasy world.
And who is the director?
It was Michael Moore. So, it you know, it's not surprising really that he's kind of, his first foray into fiction is very heavily reliant upon the idea that, you know, he's seeking the truth for these conspiracy theories and things like that.
So what is the truth this dwarf's seeking?
Global warming.
He's seeking global warming.
The truth about it. That's number four on the list. And then he's got to kill it if it's real. Yeah, he's got to kill it if it's real, because obviously that's bad.
Right, so
it's a 9/11 conspiracy.
You've put four things on this list. You've only said that he's killed one of them.
Well, I don't ruin the film.
But this is the thing, Tim. I don't want you to hold back, because, you know, if you don't like spoilers, don't watch the film.
Are you saying that you want to hear that he kills more of them, or you want to hear more of the things that are on the list?
Tim, I'm just seeking the truth.
Ah, okay. Well, you stumbled on something there, Andy.
Which is?
The name of the film. I assume that was a film you were trying to go and see, was it?
Well, no, I was very distracted at the time.
Before you went to see the film and when you bought the tickets?
Yeah, Tim, I was weeks out of a hysterectomy. I wasn't thinking about anything except my dick.
Okay, well, fair enough. He is a dwarf, and that doesn't come into play as much as you might like. And he's on a journey, and his wife dies at one point, you know, to make it, you know, sad. Any questions?
Inciting incident?
Yeah, it was that. I mean, it comes very quickly. Basically, his wife dies and says, don't ruin your fucking life. Don't waste it.
Was his wife the fairy?
No. That's interesting. No. Because he didn't believe that they existed, so it would be mad to think that he was married to one. No, his wife was...
You're right, that would be mad.
Yeah, his wife was an orc. Or she was green. I mean, I don't know, I assume she was supposed to be an orc. I don't think Michael Moore paid much attention to what the races really were.
Tim!
The dwarf was just a short guy. What?
Was there any point where the dwarf questioned his own existence?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the kind of internal irony of the film, is that this character, who is something that is not real, is questioning the reality of things that are real, like the 9/11 conspiracy...
Mars moon landing.
Mars landing. I didn't... Sorry. Yes, I misspoke earlier. The Mars moon landing. Where we landed on the moons of Mars.
Does the dwarf have a name? Because I feel uncomfortable keep just referring to him as the dwarf.
It's a fantasy dwarf. It's not a dwarf like a human.
Oh, so they don't have names.
So they don't have names. That's right.
Right. Oh, okay, I've got you.
I mean, if you look at Lord of the Rings and they call all the dwarves stupid names, like Biffa Bofa Bomba, I mean, they are basically just taking the piss out of dwarves, because they're saying, oh, what, you don't have names? Then we'll give you the worst names possible.
Oh, and, so like, this is a very respectful film, is what you're saying.
Yes, because they actually don't have names. And yet Peter Jackson, who I think wrote Lord of the Rings, said, oh, Biffa Bofa Bomba, Tally Joblin, and Thorin.
And Scally Hoo-ha.
And he's going, oh, well, if you want some names. And he just fucking throws a dart into a dictionary and sets it on fire, and whatever's left, that's your names. And it was mostly bees. Most of the bee section survived. Biffa Bofa Bomba, Illy and Gilly.
So who played the dwarf?
You know what? Who would you think it would be?
Well, the difficulty is, Tim, that...
Yeah.
That I'm not sure if you can say who the dwarf is, because if dwarfs don't have names, presumably a dwarf played this dwarf, unless you're saying this is another typical Hollywood whitewash.
Well, I mean, you would say presumably, and you're right to presume that, as I did, that it would be someone, for example, like Peter Dinklage. No, it is, in fact, Andre the Giant. And I don't know what they were trying to do with that, if it was supposed to be a big game of fun.
I mean, Tim, I think you know the question I'm going to ask.
No, there aren't any giants in the film. That is on his list, though, and
that's
I wonder if that was,
not,
again, a big
Tim,
joke.
Tim, that's not the question I was asking.
Okay, what's the question?
How did they reanimate the corpse of Andre the Giant? CGI?
I thought it would be CGI, and it was.
So was this...
The inciting incident...
Was this dwarf that Andre the Giant played, was he just a very tall dwarf?
They had to scale... I mean, what is weird is that although they created him out of CGI and they could have just made him small, they did, I think, get confused and try to make him exactly the size he was, and therefore had to build real sets that were much too big for him.
So this must have a massive director attached to it.
I mean, Michael Moore, yeah. I mean, I know he's fat, Andy. I wouldn't call him massive. yeah, inciting incident is that his wife gets eaten by a goblin, and he didn't know that they were real or not. And she is an orc, so it's not, you know, he knew they were real. So he could have suspected, I guess.
Did Michael Moore script this himself?
There was no script, as far as I'm aware, but he was in the film as himself,
no, and Tim, it
was
presented stop, as stop, a documentary. Stop.
Go on. I've just said some important things there.
Tim, stop. Yep. There's no script.
Well, I couldn't see one.
What, there were no subtitles on?
No, and none of the actors have one, so...
And there were there any lines in this?
Yeah, they were talking, but they weren't reading it from anything. So I'm assuming...
And that's what makes you think it's a documentary?
No, that's what makes you think there was no script. The reason I think it was a documentary is because Michael Moore was in the film and was talking directly to the characters.
Oh, okay, I see.
And,
right,
and addressing the camera directly as well.
And what kind of things was he saying?
He was saying, oh, I'm sorry to bother you, I'm just making a film about, you know, you and what you're doing. Is it all right? And you watch him sign the release at the end to let them use his image. So he's really going for the verisimilitude of it seeming real.
Would you say this is like a world first fantasy documentary?
Yeah. But so you mean the fake documentary?
Okay. So those other kind of mockumentaries could be described as fantasy documentaries.
No, probably not.
So this is a mockumentary.
But it's presented as, you know, as though... I mean, I don't think Andre the Giant is even alive anymore.
Hang on, Tim. I have a question.
Yeah.
Are mockumentaries even documentaries then? Because if they're not real, then they're just films. You're saying mockumentaries are just films.
Well, I mean, is it right that we just even give them the title of just films? That makes it sound... That's reductive, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Well, let's not call them films then. Let's just call them just.
So, yeah, I think Michael Moore, in some ways, was almost the main character of this. But Dwarf, as I said, is nameless, is the person that he's following. And it turns out at the end, there was a Mars moon landing.
How do you find that out?
Well, he goes there.
And he goes to Mars.
You can't say that can't happen because it isn't real. So you can't say that can't happen. I mean, try.
That can't happen.
No, it's real. Not real. Shit.
Tim, is this review a mockumentary?
This review is a documentary.
About
my trip to the cinema.
Who's in it?
Well, me. And then there was a little cameo by you and Genevieve, which I hadn't planned on. I didn't even know about it.
Well, yeah, because you weren't, like, even though you were the subject of this documentary, you weren't obviously in control of it because Michael Moore was directing this documentary.
Oh, so you're saying he was directing the documentary of me going to watch the film that he made?
I presume that's why he was in the theatre at the time.
Oh, you think he was in the theatre?
Yeah, well, he was the one that gave me the scissors to cut the hole in the popcorn.
Oh, so he was in the theatre?
Yeah.
And was he filming me?
Well, yeah, I mean, he had his camera phone. I wasn't sure whether to call the police or not.
Have you watched the video that he's made of me?
Yeah.
And can you review that quickly? Because that's then, I guess...
Okay, so it's actually really good because it kind of starts off where he's in a dark room and there's like a screen at the end and lights come up and the opening credits to a movie start. So it's like you very much feel like you're in the theatre and all of a sudden there is a blood-curdling scream.
Yeah,
and
this sounds familiar.
Blood just splashes onto the movie screen.
The real one or the one in the film?
The one in the film. And suddenly this like guy, you can't tell who it is because it's all in shadows, but like this guy just like runs out grabbing his crotch, just like screaming. And everyone's going, what the fuck's going on? There's a bit of panic.
Did you get a good look at the guy's face? Can you work out who that was?
Can't tell who it is at all.
Can't tell who
no,
it is.
No,
okay.
No. I mean, you can tell he's handsome, but that's about it. And then unlikely. Michael Moore kind of like goes out into the lobby afterwards and this guy is just there screaming and he starts interviewing him about like what's going on, what's happened, and this guy is like, my hysterectomy has burst, and
I thought I was in this film, but you're saying
no, Tim, you just have a cameo of this film,
more about the guy whose hysterectomy burst.
Exactly, but you have a little cameo at the beginning.
Do I?
Yeah, exactly.
Go on, I missed that.
So you have a cameo at the beginning.
Yeah.
Where you're just watching a film and that's when it pans off to this other guy. And then he goes out into the lobby in the end. And then this guy kind of, he's like, I need to go to the hospital. This is ridiculous. And so Michael Moore's like, oh, okay, fine. Like, I'll let you go. And the camera kind of cuts and that's the end of act one of the documentary. And then this guy kind of like, it cuts to the next scene. This guy's got his own camera phone out. He's like filming himself and he's like, oh shit, my hysterectomy's burst. I've got to go to the hospital. I'm just like recording this now so I can like send a video message to like my wife and like in case I die or whatever. Familiar. So he goes to the hospital.
Maybe I did. Yeah.
And he flatlines. And basically then it cuts again. And the camera gets picked up from the side of the operating table and he turns it round to the to the selfie camera and it's Michael Moore.
Who's making it?
Michael Moore's the surgeon.
Right. Was that meant to be a twist that it was Michael Moore holding the camera the whole time?
Exactly, yeah. And this is his new documentary.
But I mean, because we already knew that, obviously, because we discussed that he was filming.
Yeah.
But it's meant to be a twist for the viewer?
Yeah, because you think it's someone else.
Who do you think it is?
You think it's the guy whose hysterectomy's burst.
So you think that he's made a documentary about himself, but it turns out it's Michael Moore doing it?
Yeah. And you know the best thing about all this...
And who do you think he's being interviewed by in the lobby when he's being interviewed by Michael Moore?
I presumed it was you.
Okay, that's interesting. But then it turns out at the end that it is actually Michael Moore, exactly. Even though you must have been interviewed by him.
So what happened was, you come out the theatre.
Do you have any more questions about the film I saw, by the way?
What film?
Seeking the Truth.
I don't know what this movie is that you've been talking about, but this is the movie that you went to see.
The documentary of you bursting your cock and hysterectomy in the cinema when I went to see a different film.
Exactly. And that's the movie.
That's the film I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, at the end of the film, he does prove a lot of the things are real and kills them. Michael Moore is in it the whole time. And 5 stars.
5 stars for what?
Oh, that's the rating system that I'm using to grade the film on its quality.
Wait, are we talking about 5 stars for the film that you saw?
Seeking the Truth.
Michael Moore's documentary about my hysterectomy bursting, or my documentary about this review, which is this episode of the podcast.
Yeah, no, I know that. I should tell you that I'm making a behind the scenes documentary about the podcast. So that's another about your documentary.
Is that why there's a camera in the corner of the studio?
Yes, that is what that is. And that's also why I'm recording all of this.
Hang on, Tim. That guy who's operating the camera, is that who I think it is?
I mean, I don't know who you think it is, but I know who it is.
It's Peter Dinklage, isn't it?
It's Peter Dinklage, yeah. Because I think he's essentially making a documentary about this podcast about our view of the documentary that Michael Moore made about the film that I watched, which was a mockumentary, because he was annoyed that he was not cast as the dwarf. Isn't that right, Peter? He's nodding, yeah.
Yeah. So we can't give a star rating to Peter's documentary because it's not finished yet.
No, okay. That is, I mean, that's literally happening now.
We can give a 5-star rating to my documentary because it's almost finished.
And how good is it?
5 stars.
Right. And then we can give it a rating to the documentary that I saw in the cinema.
Yep.
Which is Seeking the Truth.
Yep.
5 stars.
5 stars. And are we going to give one about Michael Moore's new documentary about my hysterectomy?
About your hysterectomy. I haven't seen that. You have seen that.
I don't.
How good is that?
I'd only give it a 3.
3, okay.
Because it was very painful to both watch and experience.
Oh, because of your pain?
Yeah.
That's interesting. So you have quite a personal... It's weird that you have such a personal insight and investment into the film. It's quite rare for that to happen to us.
Well, I had the lead role. Okay, so the film you went to see in the cinema, just so I get this straight in my mind, was it a documentary, a mockumentary, or a film?
It was... yes. Definitely.
Michael Moore's documentary about my hysterectomy, was that a documentary, a mockumentary, or a film?
Yes. That. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And the film that Peter's now making now, documentary, mockumentary, that's or film?
Documentary, mockumentary, yeah, or film, yeah, exactly.
And the film I made about my hysterectomy is, of course, a...
The podcast.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I do know that the DVD extras on Seeking the Truth are going to be extensive and will encompass all of these documentaries, mockumentaries or films and podcasts. But wait till you see the bloopers. Oh boy.
My favorite blooper is the bit where my hysterectomy didn't burst because it was less painful.
My favorite blooper is this bit now when Peter Dinklage is recording this recording of the podcast and realizes that it is too boring to keep in the film.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know why he's still there, but we aren't talking about it, so...
Do you know my least favourite blooper?
Yes.
It was when I left the theatre after my hysterectomy burst, and then went out into the lobby, and halfway through the first take of the interview with Michael Moore, my hysterectomy burst again. Like, Tim, you've never felt pain like it.
No, I haven't. Oh, I say that. My least favourite blooper.
Yeah.
Was when they accidentally put the squib on the wrong person. And in the theatre, when Genevieve was, you know, doing the stuff with the popcorn.
Yeah.
Instead of your hysterectomy bursting, it was mine. But I just sort of did a chuckle and looked at the camera and just said, blooper reel. And it was kind of, it did hurt though.
And then when you said blooper reel, and you winked.
Yeah, I winked at the camera.
And then your actual hysterectomy burst.
Yeah. I was right though, wasn't I? Because it was on the blooper reel.
I saw it. Do you know what I'd give that blooper reel? 5 burst hysterectomies.
Okay. Great. Well, yeah, I mean, I will say that most people won't get the experience that I got when they went to the cinema, which was the experience of Andy's hysterectomy bursting.
Because you can't do that in every theatre, every night.
Could you do a couple?
I tried for a week.
So in effect, it will be a sort of different film, really. You'll just be seeing Andre the Giant playing a dwarf, crossing off a list of things that don't exist that he's trying to prove do so he can kill them, as an allegory for the ridiculous number of conspiracy theories in the world.
And considering that film was a film within a documentary, and the documentary that doesn't exist, you might not even ever see that film.
If even that. But at least you've got this podcast, which is, you know...
Which is a film. Documentary. And that's the film you have.
Yes, and it's we've documented the making of the documentary about the documentary.
So this week's movie of the week is the Talking Movies Pictures Movie Show podcast film.
And the Peter Dinklage documentary about that will be out in theatres. He's shaking his head. It's going to go straight to DVD.
And who's got one of them anymore?
Well, exactly. Streaming, Peter, on VOD or Netflix? He's just shaking his head. Okay. I don't think he knows what they are. Okay, great.
Bye.
Can I get a copy of it, Peter? Or you just said bye. Okay, that's it.
All right. I think that might be the most ridiculous one we've done, but
yeah, good.
See what happens. I think we should just call it the Talking Movies Pictures Movie Show film.
Bye.
Bye.
Andy?
Yeah?
I hung around after the film had finished because Genevieve was there gathering up pieces of your hysterectomy off the cinema floor throughout all the credits, and there was a little post-credits scene.
Go on.
It was Michael Moore.
Yeah.
So it was, I mean, I think it was basically a flashback scene. It goes back to like a couple of months ago to your original hysterectomy.
Yeah.
Because it says 2 months ago. And then you see a guy with a certain smock on, and he's pulling some rubber gloves on, and you get that snap back. His gloves went on.
Yeah.
And he says, put him to sleep, nurse. And it is Andy Price who's being put to sleep.
Yeah.
He pulls down the mask after you go to sleep, and it is Michael Moore who's doing the hysterectomy the first time. And instead of doing it a good job, he does it really badly.
What?
And he puts a little camera inside of your... side of your hysterectomy. And then he says, he turns to the camera, because this is being filmed, obviously part of the documentary. He turns to the camera and says, looks like that's the sequel sorted. Which is basically the journey of that camera through your removed womb.
Bye!
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.